the true ideas, right, which carries the Shem Hashem, in order that others should be able to have it. He's a tremendous guy. He's learning. Learning means that he's evolved from the highest area of thought. He's reached the objective. That's true. But insofar as a person has emotions, he mustn't just leave these emotions, rampant without any control. What he must do is he must take those emotions and he must deal with them rationally. And through dealing with them rationally, he raises those emotions to a higher level. You follow what I mean? That's why he's Yotzei Tefillah, he's Mechaven to Magen Avraham. That's why he has such a strange paradox in Tefillah. Namely, that the means becomes an end. Because that's exactly the way Tefillah works. See, Tefillah works that the means becomes an end. And that's precisely why the Halacha is formulated that way. Because that's exactly the way it functions. The whole concept of Tefillah is to take the means, take the person's instinct, which has a certain desire, right? That's his objective. And that whole objective becomes a means to raising it to a higher level. So, and then this entire objective, you see, is a means to raising it to a higher level, so that the means becomes the end. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay. What's the possibility?
Now, the Gemara says like this: that the truth of the matter is that before a person indulges in the instinctual, the last moment of the day must be closed by what? By the intellectual. All right. By the highest level. The highest level, which is the intellectual. Okay, so it's the Talmud Chacham and Tzach. So why? Because he's already evolved the highest level. What does he have to do? What does Abaye say? Abaye says no. Even Talmud Chacham asked the why. What's the reason? What is Abaye's reason? It doesn't make any sense. Why is Talmud Chacham isn't learning? It's the highest thing. What's the answer? Because even though he's a Talmud Chacham, there is no Talmud Chacham who also doesn't have instinctual desires. You see? So it's true that right now the man is operating on the intellectual level. But the point is that he still has instinctual desires also. He can't just allow those to go on without putting them under control. So even though it's involved learning, it's a tremendous thing. But still, before he goes to sleep, he must say Psuki de Rachme. Biyot chavki ruchi, padiso asiyat Hashem kelemes. What does the Pasuk say? What does the Pasuk say? Biyot chavki ruchi, he must recognize the reality. The person has a desire to live, right? The person has the greatest desire in the world, is a desire for survival. So he must recognize wherein lies this, in whom does this desire for survival find its end expression? In God. Because he's the only one that can really make me survive or make me not survive, right? So therefore, the emotion for survival brings him to recognition of God. You follow? So Abaye says it's true that right now the man is involved in the thought. It's a great thing to be involved in thought. But the point is over here, before he goes to sleep, there's something else. What he has to do before he goes to sleep is to take the emotions that he has and rationalize them. And is to direct the emotions to the proper goal. In other words, Kriya Shema Lamita isn't simply the first mandamah. Kriya Shema Lamita means before he goes into the instinctual, he has to have a performance of the philosophical. So if he's learning, it's good. If he's doing tefillah, also good. Right? Oh. But Abaye says, no, that's not the concept. The concept is that before he goes to sleep, not that there must be an activity, a philosophical activity, but before he goes to sleep, before he goes into the instinctual, he must take the emotions and raise them to a higher level. So therefore, it wouldn't be Torah alone, wouldn't be enough. What he'd have to do is have to say, Lisam Rachne. You understand what I'm saying? You follow? So therefore, tefillah is a very powerful force. Why is tefillah a powerful force? Because the concept of tefillah is to take the emotions and to raise them to the highest level. Of course, once a person reaches that level, I mentioned to you, a person that's Tarasim Nasa doesn't have to misfile anymore. Right? That's a person that has reached the level of Rabino Nasi, Gdol Yisrael. But insofar as he isn't on that level, and most of humanity isn't, in all generations, right? Not only in ours, in all generations. So therefore, the constant avoda is one must operate in two ways. One must operate in being in the intellectual, but he mustn't forget about the emotions. Because otherwise emotions that you just forget about, just go rampant, can crop up at different times and cause tremendous harm. So he must always constantly rationalize the emotions. He must direct the emotions. Whereas the emotion has a need for survival, it should be directed to God. He has a need for food, it should be directed to God. He has a need for das, it should be directed to God. Alright? So therefore you see why tefillah itself, even though to the individual it starts off as he wants to reach these objectives, but the greatest objective that he reaches is what? Is the means of tefillah itself. The means that he has to use, the recognition of God. That's the means that he has to use to achieve it, and the recognition of God is the ultimate goal. You follow? Okay. Yes.
How does this concept help?
whether if he does it before he goes to sleep. Well, there's two possibilities here in the Gemara. One possibility is that it is direct cause and result. Direct cause and result. Okay? In other words, that before, it's psychological causality. That if before he goes to sleep, he should work on his emotions, direct him to the true goal, then it'll have a mitigating effect on the instinctual during his sleep. It is a possibility. We know one thing for sure. We know that that in dream interpretation, there is always an element of the previous day in dream interpretation. Interesting thing. But the previous day is always there. Always an element of the previous day in dream interpretation. Excuse me?
Doesn't decrease.
There is an effect. There is direct effect between what happens in the previous day and the dream itself. Okay, now whether or not it does have a mitigating effect, I don't know if we can discover. Possibly yes, possibly not. But there's two possibilities here in the Gemara. Either that possibility or else it's another possibility. The possibility is that a person should be aware of the instinctual danger. That's the whole purpose. In other words, that the purpose is that before he goes into the instinctual life, the halacha was formulated that he must do tefillah avoda. Why? Because through this he comes to recognize the danger of the instinct. You see? That's why the halacha was formulated. Not that it has a direct cause and effect result on the sleep itself, but it has a direct result on the person, because the person knows that he must be aware of the instinctual. Knowledge of the performance itself is what really benefits him. You understand what I mean? I would say the second possibility. It affects his whole life. It affects his life in general. In other words, if a person recognizes the danger of the instinctual, right? So then this affects his life in general. Not specifically before he goes to sleep. Yes? The idea that I'm interested is not sleep. The idea I'm interested over here is tefillah. And as far as tefillah is concerned, regardless of how it works in the Bishma Amita, I think that the concept is clear. In other words, that the tefillah is a method of raising, of dealing with the emotions. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's a avodah shebalev. Yes. Oh, lovely. One holds that you must have a performance of avodah before you go to sleep. Performance of avodah, so it's either or, right? The other one holds no. It's not performance of avodah. But you must, it has to deal with the emotions. You have to take before one goes to sleep, one must rationalize the emotions. You must take all those loose emotions and you must bring them to the recognition of God. It has to deal directly with the emotions, because sleep is an emotional institution. You follow? So you must directly oppose it through dealing with the emotions. And if he doesn't do that, then it's not good enough. That's what a bias is. Really, if you think of Mistava, plain and simply, if you ask, I mean, we can't decide who's Magamachlekis Amorayan, but if you just... We look at it superficially, I would say that a bias makes more sense. Because actually you're dealing with the instinctual in sleep. You're dealing with the instinctual, it should be a direct thing. So you should still say one pasuk of Rachman. What? That's right, you do both sheets, definitely.
Say Shema.
Okay. Shema
is a letter of Belay. And the Avas Hashem, and the whole thing, the whole purpose of life, that's Shema. Shema is essentially the purpose of life. The whole purpose of life is in Shema. Shema is Hakaras Hashem, recognition of God. Avoso the Yerasa of the Talmud. That's the Tashmish. That's what it is. That's what Shema is.
Shema would be false in this case, wouldn't it?
Not really. Because it's not the intellectual. It's only recognition through the emotional. The fact that it's a Kiyum of Kriya, that's something else. Halachically, it's a Kiyum.
Why, isn't the
first positive? But that's not intellectual. It's Kabbalah Samachar. It's just he's recognizing the fact, but it's not an intellectual experience. He's not involving himself in thought. You know what I mean? He's enunciating a fact. It's really more of an emotional. Kabbalah Samach Shemayim is directing the emotions to their objective. So that we must make sure that we utilize our emotions to the correct purpose. Now let's take a look at the other question. Yes?
Is that a machlokes?
Philosophical pursuit, that's one avoda. But the other avoda is the making over of the self, dealing with the self, making over the self. That's the other one. Which one's honest? Okay. Now, the Gemara says that sometimes God causes a person to suffer. Pains, yisurin. The Gemara says that these yisurin, these sufferings are yisurin shel ahava. Yisurin shel ahava means it is pain of love. What does it mean, pain of love? It means like this.
Pain.
That God causes a person sometimes to suffer. And this suffering is really because God loves him. Okay? He sees that suffering is coming upon him. So all of a sudden things are going bad. So what's the first thing you should do? You fashfesh b'maisav. You check. You fashfesh b'maisav. He sees that things are going bad. He sees that the Ashgach is operating against him. So first thing he does is check his actions. Yeah, who did it? What do you find who did it?
Only
one person did it? No, before Nineveh, you find somebody did it. Who did it? The Shiftei Kah. Shvatim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shvatim. It says over there. Here. And it says, when they came to Yosef, Yosef said, okay. He says, Shimon, we'll tie Shimon up, lock Shimon up. He says, and the other one says, you go back, and because you're Meraglim, he says, and then you bring this your younger brother. So it says, Vesachicham akot v'elav yam v'rechem losamus v'yaskein. Vayomru ish elochiv. Immediately, Vayomru ish elochiv. One said to the other, Aval ashemim anachnu alochinu. Asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho b'schanno alenu v'lo shemona. Alkein bo alenu atzarazos. Vayanu resor leimor halo amati alechem. Leimor al techetu bayelet v'lo shematem. V'gam domo hine nidrash. So the first thing they did was, they saw things were going wrong, things were going bad. Fashish myself. They said, that's the reason. That's the cause. That's the first thing you should do. And the Gemara says, Afas, come on, no? Afas, come on. Yes. No, matzah. Person investigated and find anything wrong. Yitla b'bitl tera. And you should know that it wasn't anything he did, but he didn't learn. Didn't learn enough. Shenemar ashrei hagever sheyasrenu ko umiseros chaslamdenu. Vim talav alei matzah. Let's say he saw you there. It wasn't the voluntary. Guy's learning all the time. Be yadur she yisurin shalava. Haim. He should know that they're definitely yisurin shalava. What is yisurin shalava? Shenemar. Pasuk says ki es asher yehav areshem yechia. Pasuk in the Mishlei that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives einshim to the one that he loves.
As opposed to previously mentioned.
Previously it was because of an onus.
That's
something wrong. Is something wrong?
Yeah, but now it's wrong. You want the feeling of the resurrection.
Ah, okay.
But here's a different type of
answer. That's right. Good. So what is he's right, he's right, he's right, he's right. He's right. Oh, he's right. What does the Gemara say? Amar Rava Babar Schora. Amar Avuna. Kol Shea HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chofetz Bo. Whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, whoever he loves, Medako Bi Yisurim. He gives him Yisurim. Gives him Oshim. Shenema Vashem Chafetz Diko. Yochol Afilu Lo Kible Me'avo. So you might think if the person didn't accept them, let's say the person didn't want them, Talmud Lomar Tosim Oshem Nafsho. Ma Oshem Ladas, Af Yisurim Ladas. So it means like this. If the person accepted them, if he accepted the Yisurim, so then God will give it to him. But if he doesn't accept it, God will not give it to him. Interesting thing. Person accepts it, then God will give it. You might think that it'll give him Yisurim even if the person doesn't accept it. Because there's two ways to take Yisurim. The person can take Yisurim in a way in which he accepts it, and the person could be Boy Yisurim. Boy Yisurim means things go bad. He starts to, gets angry at it. Gets angry at reality. Expresses his anger towards reality. Ah. So the Gemara says that if he expresses anger, God doesn't do it anymore. But if he accepts it, then God continues to do it. Interesting thing. Okay? Alright, everybody's, knows the domain, huh? Okay. Now, Chanina Chad Amar Eli Yisurim. The Chafetz Hashem Biyado Yatzliach Pligi Bo Rabbi Yaakov Baridi Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Chad Amar Eli Yisurim Shalava. What's the latest? What is the Machlokes over here? What is Yisurim Shalava? Kol She the Gemara starts Pligi Bo Rabbi Yaakov. I'm sorry, the pasuk goes before. The machlag is like this. What is Yisurim Shalava? So one says, Kol Shein Ban Bidl Tera. Any Yisurim which do not prevent the guy from learning. Yes, he's suffering. He lost money. But learning, he can learn. Shenema, Ashrei HaGever Sheti Yasrenu Ka, happy is the person who God punishes, Umisaros Chasalam Denu. But he teaches him his Torah. Says, worth it. V'chadamar Elohim Yisurim Shalava, the other one's like this. Kol Shein Ban Bidl Tfila. The one, any Yisurim which he's not prevented from davening, from being mispal. Shenema, Baruch Elokim Ashelo Hesit Filosi V'Chazdei Me'iti. You see? What's the machlekes? One says it's Tfilah, one says it's Terah. What did again you have the substitution? What's the pshat? The pshat is like this. See, ordinarily, when a person does something wrong, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he is Zocha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an Einish. Why? Because the Einish is intended to bring the person around so that he comes to a true realization of what his values are, you see, and change his false values. That's the Yisur, right? That's what the Gemara says, that a person Yisur, we should try to check through to see what defect he has. But the Gemara says like this: a person could have done nothing wrong, but sometimes just Yisurin, just the loss of the physical itself, will help the person. Why? Because since it's taken away from him, he doesn't really have error. But since it's taken away from him, so he can steep himself more into terror. You follow? Many times, he didn't do an avera, but many times he loses something, and this will bring him to a higher level. He loses something in the physical, will bring him to a higher level. Because through the loss of the physical, he'll be able to take more of his energy and involve it into Torah. Be able to come to recognition of what the true value is. That's the whole story of Eve, the Rambam says. Because Eve at first was a tzaddik. Didn't do anything wrong, the Pasuk says. Nothing wrong. Like our Shabbat, who gave me Yisurim, right? And in the end, why? In the end, he got everything back. What's the pshat? So the Rambam says, at first he was a traditional Jew. What's that, traditional Jew? Traditional Jew was like, yes. Kept the Torah and everything, but he enjoyed his family, he valued the, liked making Kiddush, Shabbos, Cholent, everything. All things are together. See, everything is good. The good is everything. But then later, he says, after he lost everything that he had, he says he came to recognition that all these things really are only a means. And they really have no value. His wife, his kids, everything, the whole life. There's only one thing in life, and that is knowledge of God. Once he came to that realization, then he viewed life in a totally different way. Then he got everything back, you see. But he wasn't the same Eve anymore. Because everything that he had didn't have the same value anymore. So the Yisurin that he suffered, the Rambam says only Mashal, that never happened, Rambam says. But the Mashal is to teach you something. What does it teach you? It teaches you that a person could have Yisurin, which will raise him to a higher level. But that's why the Gemara says only if he accepts them properly. If he doesn't accept them, if he's boibis, or if he gets angry, so then God doesn't do it, because there's no purpose. You follow? There's no purpose in it. Now the Gemara says like this. What is Yisur Shalafa? The Gemara says there's one criterion you can tell. First, Gemara says, very good. If he can learn or not. If it's Yisur, which he can't learn, he's physically ill, he can't learn now. So you have to say Yisur Shalafa. Yisur Shalafa is supposed to
raise him to a higher level.
Raise him to a higher level. Correct? And now he can't learn. Yeah, so therefore he can't channel his emotions. The whole purpose is to take away the physical so he can channel his emotions into learning. But here you see he can't do it. So that can't be Yisur Shalafa. The other mandama says no. Even if he can't learn. But as long as what? As long as he can be mispalel. Why? Why as long as he can be mispalel? Because it's true that he can't evolve himself now in the philosophical, right? But the fact is, as long as he could be mispalel, he could still work on his emotions and perfect his emotions and direct them towards the good. So that's also a good. It's not just the actual philosophical involvement which is a good, but it's also a good in which he perfects himself. Right? That's tefillah. Correct? Okay. The last mandala of the Gemara is the most inexplicable, Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says that regardless, even if he can't learn or he can't be mispalel, still could be Yisur Shalava. Why? What's the pshat? Still could be Yisur Shalava. It's hard to understand the mandala of the Gemara. But at any rate, apparently he holds that the breaking of the emotions per se, even though right now he can't be mispalel, right now he can't learn, he can't channel immediate channeling, but it still will remain, the effect will be for his benefit later.
Take away all the emotions.
Okay, that's the machlokes. Some say no, only if you can channel it immediately. If in this situation you can channel it, then it's Yisur Shalava. Alright. And then I'm not interested in Yisur Shalava. I'm interested, I brought it for one reason, only for tefillah. Only for tefillah. I can go in there for the years. But only for tefillah. The purpose is to show you one thing, that what is, you see that there's tefillah and that there's Torah. They substitute, again, the same concept. What's the pshat? Why do they substitute? Because they really are both what? They're both means to reaching perfection. Avodah shebelev is when a person reaches perfection. That's avodah. Osos avodah, we should serve God, means that we should perfect ourselves. But there's two ways to perfect ourselves. One way is direct involvement in the philosophical, and the other way is by perfecting our emotions. Taking those emotions and directing them to the true cause. That it's true that that's not as high. The whole objective of that is to reach the higher level. But that is avodah. Any person that overlooks that really overlooks the essential part of life. That's why tefillah is so important. Now let's go back to one other thing. Let's go back to the to the formulation that we started off with. Why does it reverse? Philosophically, we would say, first say what God is, then say what his omnipotence, right? And then say how he relates to man, because how he relates to man is a particular of his general powers, right? Yeah. What's the answer? Why is it reversed? Yeah.
Because.
That's right. Exactly. It's the same process. The process in tefillah is that the person really goes to tefillah for what reason? See, tefillah is not. The Torah does not take a person. The Gemara says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Babatunyim in Bereyaso." HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go to a person directly, oppose him. A person could be a Russia. You could have wrong emotions, wrong desires, but God doesn't go and oppose a person. Just say, "You can't do this." The way of God is chesed, which means that God takes the person from his emotions and turns him around, shows him how to go. But it doesn't come in a conflict, an open conflict, an open battle with a person. So the whole purpose of tefillah is that a person shouldn't just take his emotions, just fight, just destroy them, suppress them. You can't do that. The way is to take them gradually, to bring them, turn them around, to show them, take them, this is what you desire. Okay, but isn't it true if you desire this? I have to go about it in the most rational way. Now, let's see. You want to live? Now, who is life really dependent upon? It takes them slowly, slowly into the philosophical. See, that's the whole road of tefillah. Tefillah is really a road. So really, it starts off with the Hashgacha Pratis. Why does it start off with the Hashgacha Pratis? Because that's basically what the person is interested in. That's basically where the emotions are. Correct? The emotions are, he wants to ask God for something. He has a need. He has a personal need he wants to satisfy. So what element of God comes to mind when the person has a personal need? What element of God is important first?
There's a one-to-one relationship.
Exactly. Personal. The fact that there's a Hashgacha Pratis. Correct? That's the name, that's a concept that the person really feels, emotionally feels that. Stronger than anything else. Why? Because that's what he wants. That's tied in closer with his needs. Then once he does that, then he comes to realize, but just a second, this God who has Hashgacha on you, you know, that's not the only thing about him. But he's also omnipotent. He also is all-powerful. See? The second thing is, when you say powerful, it doesn't mean he's powerful in quantitatively, but he's completely a different essence altogether. Okay? So it takes him step by step, three stages, until it comes to recognition of God. Correct? Then he goes into tefillah. So that's why tefillah is formulated in the reverse of the philosophical. The reverse of the philosophical. Why? Because that's the whole nature of tefillah. But there's just one more thing I'll add. That in tefillah, when the person's misfollow, so there's two things. First of all, he takes the emotions, his emotional desires, and he directs them towards the proper goal. Right? True. But there's another benefit also. When a person might have a desire, and then when he starts being misfollowed, he says, well, I have to misfollow that desire. Then he goes through the concept of God, right? Then he starts being misfollowed. By the time he's misfollowed, he could come to recognize that this thing which he really desires so much might not necessarily be the best thing for him. You see? So really, there are two ways that tefillah improves a person. Tefillah improves a person because, first of all, it directs the emotion logically to its end, but by the time the person goes through the process of tefillah, by the time the emotion, he might very well find out that this desire that he has might not necessarily be the correct thing. He might have a different desire after that.
He might be skipping the middle
of 13
brachas.
Yeah. But, skipping the middle brachas. Yes.
You do have that.
Yeah, the person davens to Magen Avraham, he's Yaitz, not davens. If he says, come on to Magen Avraham, and he has a concept of Midlif Nei Hashem, he's Yaitzah. But it's not Tefillah B'Shlei Musa. Why? Because it's true that he came to the recognition of Hashgacha Pratis. At least, that much he must have. Okay. But what happened was, you see, he failed to continue. Why? Because if he would have continued on, he would have come to his need and would have had to formulate his need. And the important thing in tefillah is formulation, not just feeling. Person feels tefillah doesn't mean a thing. He has to formulate. Why formulate? Because formulate is part of the process of the intellectual. When you formulate, you see it clearly. If you don't formulate it, you don't see it clearly. That's why most poskim hold that you don't have to make a birchas haTorah if you just think about Torah. But if you verbalize, you have to, because verbalization is the objectification of thought. You understand? And that's why if a person writes down Torah, he also has to make a bracha. Why? Because it's not really a speech. It's objectification. When you objectify a thought, you objectify it either verbally. The Gemara says, one of the ways that men chas from that Torah nikdis ben is arichas fasayim. Arichas fasayim means verbalization. A person verbalizes, he objectifies. Now, therefore, in tefillah as well, it has to be verbalized. He must objectify the thought. If he just leaves it as a thought, many things are going to be many things will be hidden that he'll never be able to see. But once he brings it out clearly and he sees all the different facets, then he starts realizing, 1 second, is this really rational what I want? Or maybe I should change my desire. Maybe I should want something else. So if he just went to Magen Avraham, it's true he has the concept of Ashgacha Pratis, one concept, but he really didn't finish the process. Because the process is to have the total recognition of God and realize he's standing before God and then realize also what his need is. Now that he comes to the recognition of God and what the real needs are, you see, then he has to re-channel, has to revise his desires. You notice in Tefillah also the way the Tefillah is formulated, the most important first. They don't let him ask right away. Well, where is this person supposed to ask for his needs? In the brachos, he's supposed to ask for his needs, right? But if a person wants to ask for money, he has to wait to baruch aleinu. He has to first go through right? Why? Because through this process, you see, through the process of tefillah, he'll come to recognize that there are other needs. You see, there are other needs. There's a priority of needs. What's the first priority? First priority is knowledge. After that, the next priority is, without knowledge, you can't do anything. But once he has knowledge, then he has to start working on directing and channeling his energy. Tshuva is an everyday process. Tshuva is not a process done in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Tshuva is an everyday process. He has to constantly go over his emotions and change them, revise them, see what his needs are. So if a person goes through the whole tefillah, and he doesn't stop by Magen Avraham with his kavanah, he goes through the whole tefillah, the benefits increase as he continues. Not just recognition of God totally, but also, and not just taking the desire and directing it towards God, but recognizing insofar, once he recognizes God, his whole philosophy changes, his emotions start recognizing as a different thing, then he can revise his desires. And that is really the end purpose of tefillah. Because you can always tell a person by his desires. What does a person really, what does he want? What does he want out of life? That's what he is. Does he want money? Then that's what he is. Does he want glory, kavod? That's what he is. Does he want knowledge? That's something else. He's a different person. See? A person is defined by what his desires are. What does he want out of life? So tefillah is the process which takes an individual, perfects him to the point where it changes the nature of his desires. That's when he reaches perfection. That's tefillah. That's why tefillah is such a great thing. And that's why if we don't use tefillah, if you don't use tefillah, you're simply lacking out on a part of life. You just can't possibly reach the perfection. You just can't. It's impossible. Without tefillah, it's impossible to do it. The answer is the fact that Yetzer from Magen Avraham shows you one thing. What does Ram say? What's a person's purpose in life? What's the ultimate? He asked me, what is the purpose of the whole Torah? The whole purpose of a person's life is what?
Recognition of God.
Recognition of God. Das Hashem. Correct? Now, Das Hashem, there are many different facets in a person's life which revolve around Das Hashem. You see? The ultimate, of course, is where all his emotions and all his desires are directed towards knowledge of God and where he's totally involved in that knowledge. That's the highest level that a person can reach. Correct? But every step in that knowledge is one of the components. Is something. So the fact that Chazal say that Talmud Magen Avraham is Yetzer shows you one thing. That's right. It's an important step. See, he made the step. See, if the essence of tefillah was needs, then you couldn't say Talmud Magen Avraham is Yetzer. But you see the way Chazal have formulated the essence of tefillah is Das Hashem. And if it's Das Hashem, so at least he has one step. If only he has one component, he was Yetzer. But he's on his way. He has something. But of course, if he keeps on going, the benefits keep on increasing until the whole person has changed.
Formulate his needs as far as the recognition.
Right. Formulate his needs in terms of that recognition. That's when the change really takes place. That's the essence. That really is the full objective of tefillah.
And he'll actually remove himself from his needs.
Person davens properly, when he walks away from davening, he's a different person. If he davens properly, he should be a different individual when he walks away from davening. So feel differently. Feel differently. That's why also, by the way, that's why before, the first thing a person has to do in the morning is tefillah. Can't eat. First thing must be tefillah. Why? Because that's when, again, like I mentioned before, that's when the instinct, he arises from the instinctual situation immediately. The first thing that he must do is to take care of those instincts. If he doesn't, that's the end of the day. That's why it's Dini Ashkenaz Rabbeik. You're not allowed to do anything before. As a matter of fact, Rashi says in Brachos, you're not allowed to learn before davening. Not allowed to learn before davening. Why can't you learn before davening? Why? Because learning is very good, but the point is you're letting those emotions go. You have to immediately take care of the emotions first. as a basis, then he can involve himself in learning. But if he doesn't do that, he's just letting certain emotions go unwatched, which can later cause tremendous harm to him. You follow? Yes.
And if you can have more,
I don't know if it's true, but somebody has the rub. They have to eat before davening on Shabbos. They said they can't because until they go to shul and everything, they come back, they're too exhausted. So the rub said daven shachris at home and eat and then go to shul. That's right. Not filling the tzibur. Because of the issue of eating before davening. But it's an important thing. The only thing to do is drink water. But unless a person is sick, if a person is sick, he's allowed to, because then he has no choice. Then it's not eating for enjoyment. But eating for enjoyment before tefillah is an issue.
Yeah.
A person who wants $1 million, what's the first thing he likes about God? Exactly.
And secondly,
then the second thing is, once he recognizes that he deals with you, the second thing is that he doesn't only deal with you. The next logical step is that he's all-powerful. He deals with the whole universe. You see?
Yeah, but the very beginning, you don't
know what you're talking about. You're saying that he who is the one that has Ashgacha to But ask every businessman. Every businessman is okay, say no, right? Everybody something good, get Snarka, you know? Why? Because the Ashgacha Pratius. That's the thing that emotionally a person is tied to. There's an emotional tie to that.
And I used to find the guy.
So that's Ashgacha Pratius, yes? That's still not Jake. It's better than the other. It is. It's very simple. Because the one who davens emotionally is operating on an infantile emotional basis. You see? He's operating on infantile emotions. He's substituting for childish emotions towards his parents, he's substituting towards God. That is a low level. But the point is, when a person goes into philosophy and he finds out that that's false, so immediately he can't go back to that anymore, because that was the only mode of operation. See, that was his modus operandi in tefillah. And the moment he sees that's silly, that's nonsensical, so then he can't go back to that anymore. But the problem is, he doesn't have to substitute the true concepts of tefillah. So he's left davening, you see? That's why. But I say like this. I say that if a person is rational, unless a person is really not ready for the philosophy, and I agree that there are people that aren't ready for it, but I say insofar as a person is rational and he really sees the true idea of tefillah, those true ideas of tefillah will move him to a greater extent than the crazy emotions, because he's being moved by his intellect and by everything inside of him. The other person is being moved by only one part of him, certain childish emotions that are still finding expression. But a person who really sees the concept of tefillah and really understands tefillah will definitely daven with the greatest possible kavanah, because his whole being, his whole self is at stake. He sees what it really is. But the problem is that it's not substituted. He's left hanging, you see? So that's why he doesn't do it. Or it could be a person who is only capable of operating on the emotional low level. A person who can only operate on the infantile level, in which case philosophy can harm him. And that we mentioned many times. And if a person can operate only on the infantile, and you break down the infantile, then he has nothing to do. That's why you can't tell philosophy to everybody. You have to be careful who you tell philosophy to. Because if you see a guy a lot of times the guys have the idea of breaking somebody down, you know? You got to be very careful about who you teach philosophy to. Very careful. Because if a person's operating on an infantile level, and then you break this down, he has nothing. He has absolutely nothing. You have to know who you're dealing with. It's a dangerous thing. Let him operate on the infantile level. Maybe in a few more years we'll be able to understand something. But you should not go and try to teach everybody everything. You have to know. You have to know what a person can tell. Okay. Alright, just a question. The question is that if tefillah is really to raise the person to the higher level, and that he should contemplate and really understand the truth of his life and the purpose of life and everything else. So it turns out that what happens is many times that because of the insistence on the verbalization, so he can't contemplate, and that's the end of it, right?
Really quick.
The answer is like this, really. The truth of the matter is that there's a quantitative fact over here when you come to contemplation. In other words, if he gets lost in contemplation, that's not the purpose of tefillah anymore. You see, tefillah is supposed to bring him to the contemplation. You see, after tefillah, but the tefillah is just supposed to deal on a basic level with the instinctual needs. You see, in other words, tefillah is supposed to just really ripen the emotions. It's not really contemplation. You got to get lost in thought and introspection. That's not tefillah anymore. You see, that follows. That's definitely very beneficial, and it follows tefillah. But firsthand, you must prime the emotions. Tefillah is really just priming, just on a first level. It's not really, once you go too far into that area, then he's already involved with the thought already, you see? So that's really the purpose. The purpose is to deal on an emotional level, and everybody, since everybody has instincts and is operating at instinctual level, the person mustn't overemphasize his ability, his philosophical ability. It's true, he does have. But the point is, you must deal first on the emotional level. On the emotional, on the instinctual, not too far into the contemplative. There must be you must draw the line over there. The truth of the matter is that what happens in tefillah is, I think what destroys tefillah is the rote. The rote is what destroys tefillah. And why is it rote? It's rote because you don't understand the ideas. And every tefillah, really, most people don't even add anything in their tefillahs. That's totally wrong. The whole tefillah is a person supposed to add in each bracha his own personal request. It should be a personal thing. What happens is it becomes like he's reading off a magazine. You know what I mean? Then that's really what destroys tefillah. But if a person would just relate to his basic emotional needs on a primary level, not to involve philosophically, because the moment you get to involve philosophically, that's not tefillah anymore, but just basic primary emotions, expression, speech, talking what he needs, what he wants, what he feels, you see? In any language, right. This is really the concept of tefillah. After that, it should lead him to the contemplative. That should lead him to the contemplative. Is the what do you call it? The hakara that a person must have, insofar as his own place in the universe. That's the real essence of tefillah. The real essence of tefillah. There's one thing. There's one emotion. I mean, I don't know what exactly. I don't even know how to define it. But I mean, describe it, let alone define it. But I'll try. I'll make an attempt. I mean, you see, the thing is that a person, a lot of times, a person feels, he feels like somehow or other, like he's a part of God. I mean, it's all descriptive, you know? But like, he doesn't look at himself like an extraneous being who's relating to a creature, he is a creature. As a creature, he's relating to a being that is an infinite being. You see, he's simply, in other words, what I mean to say is like this, that he looks at himself like people feel, what if Miss Paul? I mean, God knows everything. See, they get a feeling like God is a part of them. Like, they don't realize that they are completely extraneous, they're an extraneous existence, and they have to relate to this, all-powerful super being. Do you understand what I mean? They don't realize their place. They don't realize their place. They have a feeling of like closeness, an unwarranted feeling of closeness with God, which makes tefillah sound absurd. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They feel it's a part thing.
They feel like God's breathing down my back, like God is
God already knows what I want. God,
yeah, he's right there. He's old days with me. Like, yeah, it's like a crazy thing I'm doing, you see? But they don't realize that the truth of the matter is that God is a totally different being, you know, and that he is simply a creature, a far-removed creature, and that he can relate, he has the ability to relate to God. See, but in terms of, it's not like, you understand, like he's a completely separated entity. Ask me to describe it. I don't know why.
You know what I'm saying? God feels that they like Hashem.
Right. That's all. God is just concerned, always concerned about him. He's always, you know, and that, of course, we can't say that he's not, but I mean, I'm trying to describe the emotion. You know what I mean? See, the emotion is that God is not a qualitatively differentiated being. That we are completely different. We're just, let's say, for instance...
quantitatively different.
Yeah, God is like his father, like his, right, just a part of him, you know, and he's always watching him, and always, what's the sense of his father? It's ridiculous. See? As we realize his position, that he has a position in the universe, a unique position, distinct position, that he is far removed. He's far removed from God's nature, very far removed. And the only thing that he can do is to perceive exactly what type of a creature he is and how he stands in relationship to the universe. And the ability to be mispalled to God, in tefillah, a person really sees what, if he davens properly, he really sees what his position is. That he's like the Rambam says, that he's Briyash Vela Vafela Ame Bidas Maruta Lefnei Tanam Deis. Briyash Vela Vafela is a small creature, a very small creature. And he's standing Bidas Maruta with very little knowledge. He's a creature that inherently has very little knowledge, you see, and that can grasp a certain amount. Like I told you last time with the Rambam, like Malachim. And Malachim very far removed from us. Their existences that are far superior to us. We're inherently are a low existence. Even the greatest one of us, even Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest one, it's inherently Adam is not a very high creature. That's what the Rambam says. That the Rambam says, "Mo enosh kisis kareno." Mo enosh kisis kareno. Mo enosh kisis kareno. It means that it's hard to understand when a person really comes to recognition of what man per se is. It's difficult to comprehend how God relates to him. Difficult to comprehend. That's the greatest mystery. On the contrary, the average person assumes that is a commonplace, that God relates to him. That's because he has tremendous ego. The ego tells him that God's always is more important than me. I mean, God has nothing to do with it. The main thing God should do is be concerned with me all day and all night. That's our purpose. That's his purpose. You see? Truth of the matter is, it's the exact reverse that David Melech says. The question is, how could God really relate to us? You know, our very nature, our makeup, our physical makeup is something which is doesn't last long. Our psychological makeup is one which is evuvia, what do you call it, conflict, and the inherent essence of man is a low essence. See, it's not to be compared with higher beings. Things that are higher than us. See? That's why, and also, if a person has a knowledge of psychology, has knowledge of man, he sees really how little man is. That's why Chazal is, more in the Brachas over there, tells each one of the Chazal what they use from the spell. One of the tefillahs that we have, the tefillah of the Yisei after Gemel Chasad and Tevim Ami Yisrael, he's on Vinechad Hashem, Allah Kavikavas, Hashem Tatsi Leini Hayyem, Vachol Yoyim, Azei Panim, Azos Panim, right? See all these things. Why? Because what was the tefillah? The tefillah was Paul after the tefillah. They used to mispal that. We say it in the morning, but they were mispal. Each Amar had a different tefillah. The Gemara mentions. Why they mispal? Because they recognize that a person's so weak. I mean, a little change. A little guy could be walking down the street, and one little change can occur. And something of mashkas could come in and ruin the guy's life. I mean, his bechira, of course he has bechira, but his nature is such that it is, like you mentioned before, that the other factors are so predominant in terms of success. I don't think a person could ever attribute any success to himself if he's honest, because the factors are so determined and all around. I mean, it's true, he can exert, he has an area that once he has certain situations and everything else, he has an area in which he can exert bechira. But the true success is not dependent on his bechira. Nobody's really a gibor. Nobody's really that powerful. See, especially when you think about the different psychological factors. A person could go through a difficult period, fall into a depression. No control. Can't do it. Can't control it. The person, speaking to somebody recently, somebody had a depression. They were in depression for a while. They felt that, well, I pulled through with this and that. I was trying to explain, there's no reason you pulled through. You're just very fortunate that you're okay. But don't try to sell me the idea that there's really tremendous gvura here. It's tremendous gvura here. You can take the most powerful individual, one emotional thing which you can't stand. Sometimes a person's afraid of certain fears a person has. One fear, the guy's destroyed. Ruined. That's the power of the unconscious is so great that he really has very, very little. It's just chesed Hashem, I mean, that he's able to function, able to operate. So really, when a person comes to that realization, he sees how little is in his hands. That's really recognition. That's tefillah. That's why they mispowel everything. That's why their tefillahs had meaning, because they really recognize their position, Chazal. See, that's why they mispowel for all these things. Well, what is mispowel? Something the mashkas, daily Israel. I mean, what was the word about something the mashkas? It was control, bechira. The answer is?
Also.
What?
Five
guys
every day.
That's right. And in spite of that, he wasn't spoiled. That's right. So you see that that's what the Gemara means over there. That's what the Gemara means. And no matter how much, no matter how protected, the Gvura and the pot of Adam is very small. Very small amounts. Really very small. It's a fantasy, tremendous fantasy that man has. It's so powerful and he can really control things. But a person cannot be mispalel unless he undoes that fantasy. As long as he has that fantasy, it's impossible to be mispalel, because it doesn't make any sense. The guy feels his power. What do we need this for? Okay? It's only tefillah, real tefillah, only comes from a total recognition of his position and a total recognition of what he can do, what he can't do, what his limitations are, which are very great, And then he can understand. Then he sees why he requires the Ashgacha in order to exist. Realize how dependent he is on the Ashgacha. That's why the greatest tefillahs of all, the greatest tefillahs of all, are whose tefillahs? Tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says that tefillah is bigger than ma'isim tevim. Because me ain loch misha also ma'isim tevim yesim Moshe. Lava pekein le'nein el b'tefillah. Why? Because the only true when a person reaches his height is when he reaches the total recognition of his position in terms of all things that exist. There's a reality of existences. When he realizes his position in terms of reality, that's when he really reaches the highest level. That's only for tefillah. That's really, I think, it's one of the biggest obstacles in being mispowel. If a person would use tefillah that way, then I think that they would really enjoy it. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's a painful realization at first. When a person realizes how weak he is now, unimportant he is. But the truth of the matter is that the real happiness that a person can achieve is only through that recognition. Because the only way a person can really be happy is when he recognizes totally what the reality of a situation is. That's when he removes all the conflicts. Because all these conflicts come from the fact that the person doesn't have a true recognition of what he is. And because he doesn't have a true recognition, every time reality starts barging in and starts challenging his fantasy. So the average person, what he does is, his whole life, is an attempt to place the fantasy, make the fantasy supreme over the reality. Attempt to change the reality through and then be in line with his fantasy. The real chacham, he never has peace because he's constantly in battle. The real chacham is one who recognizes the ultimate reality. If you know the ultimate reality, then nothing matters. A person, let's say somebody was embarrassed. Something happened, was embarrassed. Terrible thing. The guy recognized his position, said, what's the difference? I mean, it's like, let's say a little creature was embarrassed today. So what does it matter? Doesn't mean anything. In terms of the universe, what does it mean? Nothing. Okay? It's the overestimation of the self causes terrible thing. The guy recognized his position, said, what's the difference? I mean, it's like, let's say a little creature was embarrassed today. So what does it matter? Doesn't mean anything. In terms of the universe, what does it mean? Nothing. Okay? Just the overestimation of the self causes all these different problems. If a person looks at his life, he'll see all these things. It's only because of one thing. Because he maintains that he's the center. As long as he's the center, nothing's working right. It just matters everything's working very right. But the only thing that's not right is his illusions. Yeah. Because, like I tell you, see, tefillah really is a verbalization of what the person is. A verbalization of the reality. And the only time you come to the real recognition is when a person verbalizes the reality. It's true, my type are indicative of how you feel about yourself. But the true level is reached only through verbalization. Because verbalization is the mind thinking, mind concentrating, mind understanding. Tefillas Moshe is not just on talk. Tefillas Moshe is verbalization of the ideas of Moshe. Revelation of ideas is that's when he really reaches it. It's the highest level. It's higher than Ma'aseh Tevim. Ma'aseh Tevim is a result. Yes. First of all, when a person does something wrong, like embarrasses somebody or does something wrong towards another person, the reason why I did something wrong is because of an imperfection in the self. You see, it's an imperfection in the self. In other words, why does he embarrass somebody? Because some emotion got loose and took hold of him. If he wasn't lining with reality, he wouldn't do it. Do you understand? Both of them stem from not being in line with reality. On the one hand, the guy's not in line with reality, and that's why he gets angry at a guy and causes him harm. Anyone that causes somebody else harm, the reason why they cause him harm is because of some emotion. You see? So this emotion demonstrates that if the person wasn't in line with reality, there'd be no need for that reaction. See, it's not the ultimate harm that it caused, but it's the fact that he reacted that way. You understand? The fact that the person reacts that way. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu can only do good. Why can Kadosh Baruch Hu only do good? For a simple reason. Why? That's right.
The reaction.
That's right. All the Ma'aseh Hashem is Tev. See, Tev can come from two things. Tev can come in man from an emotion. That's the confusion. God's Tev and our Tev is different. Because our Tev is intermingled with emotion. Even the highest person intermingled with emotion. Some emotion there. But because a person has emotions, naturally. But the God's Tev is completely the perfection. In other words, good can be a result of the intellectual. Something is good because it's designed precisely the way that it's supposed to be in order to fulfill its objective. See, that's good. So in man, however, in man, good has the connotation of an emotional good. You see? But the truth of the matter is, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the real good, the ultimate good, is the is good because it reaches its objective. That's good. In other words, why is God good to man? We say God is good to man. It's very good to man for simple reason. Because man is a creature, and he gives man that which is necessary in order that man should reach his perfect state. That's good. It's not an emotion of good. That's good in terms of the perfection of creation. So there's two goods, really. God's good is different than our good. God's good is because of Chachmah. See? Our good, of course, we strive to reach the level that we should do it because of Chachmah too, I mean, as much as we can. See? But the other good is confusion. People think good is, let's say, how do you know God is good? Maybe God is evil. And the answer is, God can't be evil because evil comes from certain emotional sources which God doesn't have. But God is good because of the fact that good comes from that which is rational, that which is chachmah. Chachmah makes good. Because the thing which is designed to reach objective, that's the good. You understand what I mean? The reason why people ask, they say, how do you know God? Maybe he's evil. That's because they project onto God their own emotions. See, they have an emotion to do good and an emotion to do evil. So the question is, well, you say God does good. Maybe God has an emotion to do evil. You see? But God's good is different than man's good. Do you understand what I mean? That's why I said, one of the Farshim say, in the Tefillah it says, Gomel Chasadim Tevim. Why does it say Gomel Chasadim Tevim? It should say Gomel Chasadim. Gomel Chasadim? What's Tevim? So it says, no, because the man, when a man is a Gomel Chasadim, but not Gomel Chasadim Tevim necessarily. Why? He's Gomel Chasadim on his part. He does a kind thing. But it might not necessarily be good. It might not turn out to be for the good of the individual. You don't know. Did somebody offend him? Maybe it turned out for his detriment. The person doesn't know. But God is different, because God is Gemel Chasadim Tevim. It's a different type of Gemel Chasadim. So Gemel Chasadim, which is based on rationality, to do the act which perfects the creature. See? You understand what I mean? That's rationality. That's not the emotion that we have of good.
That's what you're saying with God, too.
If you got a Rambam there, yes, get a Rambam there in a Rambam of what do you call it? Of the last Rambam in Sanhedrin. See, there's something I don't want to override one point because somebody get the wrong impression from this. Yes. Rambam is Perek Chafei in Ochas Sanhedrin. Rambam says, Osu Adam Luneg Bishrar Al Tzibor. I mentioned this last week to some of the guys. A person is not allowed to act who is a leader of the of Kali Yisrael is not allowed to act b'shroar. Shroar means power. And hori. But with humility and with yira. I hate to say fear, but alright. You know what I mean. Now, Silas. V'chein asalo linoig bohen kalis rosh. A person is not allowed to be noig kalis rosh means to deal lightly with them. Like a guy comes in with a problem, he says, "Ah, I think I'm going to make a joke out of the guy, you know? You help him out, he could be helping him out, but he deals with him like a light thing, small thing, make nothing out of the guy's problems. Why? Even though the ones that he's dealing with are ignoramuses. Ameyaretz means ignoramuses. Why? He says, "V'lo yafsia al roshei am kedesh." He shouldn't tread on the heads of the holy nation. Afa pishein hejetes. Even though they're hegetis. Heget means empty, nothing, plain. We shvolim, low, low people. See, guys is vicious. One guy is corrupt. He's all the wonderful character traits he has, right? He says, even though they're hegetis and shvolim, right? Say they're idiots, the jerks. B'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov haim. They're still B'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. V'tzivos Hashem. Shehoitzi me eretz Mitzrayim b'chayach godol uviyod chazar. What does Ram say? V'seivel terach hatzibur, and this person who is in the position where he's the leader of Kol Yisrael, what does he have to do? He has to be seivel terach hatzibur. He has to tolerate the burden of the tzibur. Masan k'mayish rabenu shenema by kasher yisa oimen es ayenek. What's the pshat? Kasha Yisa Omein as a yonek, like the bird carries the baby. Nareyu Omer Vatzaves Shiftechem Zuazola Dain Shizbos Sibaka Shay Yisrael Menas Yenik. Salem Abbi Mesha Rabban Shakol and Vim, Kivin Shashokha Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim, Venema Yitzavan Yisrael Omer Pirkabal Hashem Olam Meshulayim, Almanashiyu Mekal Lemeschem Vesek Lemeschem Bavarak.
And
even though you should go, even though they're going to curse you and throw stones at you. So what's the pshat? What is the pshat? And why is it so? What kind of an answer is Ram give? What kind of answer? Sounds like a firm answer. Pekei ben Yavis Yaakov. Oh, we all know that. What does it mean? What does it mean? You understand the question? Ram Malzi, you can't make light of an amartz. Even though he's a shuffle, even though he's a low person, nothing. He's basically following his taivas, he's living a life of taivas, he's not really a chacham at all. How many people are chacham? Very few. If you just make the ummah into chacham, you'd be left with no ummah. Yes?
Seems like the
Rambam
saying that you have to evaluate
a guy. One way is you can evaluate a guy in terms of his essence. What he is, what he is essentially. The other way you can evaluate a person in terms of his accident. Let's say, for instance, there was someone who was the son of a great person. Like this. Let's say, for instance, there was a Melach. The son of a Melach. Melach. Ben-Ayam Lachim. Ben-Melach. So, you understand very well that a person would hesitate to spit in the guy's face. Not so much because of what he is, but because of his relationship to the Melech. You see, his relationship to the Melech. Okay? Because of his relationship to the Melech. Right? So the Rav one time said that whenever they got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, they always called him Ben Amram. What is Ben Amram saying? Why do they call him Moshe? Why? Because a name means... A name is something which is applied to the essence. That's your name. His name is Moshe. See? But Ben Amram means you're just an accident of Amram. See? That's why he showed in Tanakh too. When Shaul got angry at Yenison, because Yenison was protecting David HaMelech, and David HaMelech was eventually going to take away the Melucha from Shaul. So Shaul HaMelech got real angry at Yenison. He told him, he says, "Don't you know, Alei Adata Shekol Zman She Ben Yishai Chai?" He says, your whole maluch is nothing. So we called him Ben Yishai. Why Ben Yishai? Ben Yishai means he's nothing. He's just the son of somebody else. His name is Yishai. So there's two ways that you could relate to an individual. One based upon his essence, and the other way insofar as he's an accident of something else. You see? I'm saying... that there's two, I could relate to an individual. Let's say I'm relating to the Hamon, right? So the Hamon, I see the guys, they're idiots. So why should I care about them? So Ram says, you're right. Insofar as their essence is concerned, they're shvelim. But you have to realize something else. When we take a look at the acts of God, we find that God doesn't look at it that way. You see? God decided that this Ummah must be taken out of Mitzrayim. It did Nisim and Mifsim in order to take them out of Mitzrayim, in order to give them, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, to make an Ummah out of them, right? So apparently, insofar as God is, insofar as they are an object of God, they're important. You understand what I mean? You see? That's what it means. That they, Shehem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, they are the sons of Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, v'heim tzivos Hashem, sh'heitzion, v'heim tzivos Hashem, sh'heitzim Eretz Yisrael. Because God decided that the Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov will be the ones, regardless of what they are, not because they're anything else, just the Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, that they will be the ones which he will make into an Ummah, because God wants this Ummah. So it's God's will that this Ummah should exist, correct? So therefore, insofar as they are a part of the plan of God, they're important. Not insofar as their own essence. You have no right to judge them on the basis of their essence. That's the wrong way to judge them. See? That's the true philosophy. That's the true outlook of a shefet, of a dayan. See, if a person is who's a parnas al tzibur, the parnas al tzibur, the one who's in charge, really has to, then there's no emotions involved. There's no emotions involved. He looks at the tzibur in terms of this is the group in whom God's will is being fulfilled. So therefore, I must act with them accordingly. In terms of the rest, it's true. The shvolim, the adjetis, the jerks, whatever it is. But in terms of what they represent, insofar as their relationship to God, See? That's the way you have to deal with them. That's why also what you mentioned before. You say if you mavaza somebody, it's if you mavaza somebody, so see? Why? Because first of all, it's an imperfection so far as the individual is concerned. The Rambam learns the reason is that for that crime is really because of the imperfection of the individual. Rambam in the end of Chelek. He says, because Chazal said other people, when Rambam mentions those people don't have Olam Haba, so he says Chazal said other people don't have Olam Haba. And he quotes them, Vaza Shafer and Olam Haba, and person that makes himself great because of a defect in his chaver.
Yeah.
What's going on? So the Rambam says that people, Bala Lashon Hara, people who do these things on a continuous basis, the Rambam says, doesn't mean Rambam doesn't interpret it, did it once. Interprets that a person does that.
It's a Baal.
He says, yeah, he's a Baalachi, Baalachi. So then he's, he doesn't have it. Ain Royal, Loise Nefesh. That Nefesh cannot exist in the next world. Because the apparently it shows you that it's a defect in the soul, and the soul is completely attached to these emotional, forces. So therefore it can't exist in the next world, because the next world is only for the perfected soul, you see? But also, the crime itself is a crime. Why is it a crime? It's not just the defect in the person, but the crime itself is a crime. Why? Because every Adam, insofar as his is Ben Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, he represents Klal Yisrael, so therefore you have to look at him as one of those who is involved in God's will. Right? So insofar as he's an object of God's will, he's important. You understand? But of course, when a person gets embarrassed, I don't think he worries because he's an object of God's will. I don't think it's a real concern over there. Because that's the case. He has nothing to worry about. That's the way it's God's will. That's God's will. It's not my word. I didn't do it. You don't have anything to worry about. If you did it, say you feel bad because I shouldn't have done this. But somebody did it to you. It's not your fault. So why do you feel bad?
You say today, Alan?
Well.
Or really, they're only part of God's plan because they have some kind of inherent importance.
When Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, he said I went through this when I gave you an Eretz Yisrael, when I spoke about Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told Klal Yisrael, he says, lay me tzitkascha miyoyishu levavcha. He says, nasan Hashem lekecha sarat hazais. He says, why? But why did he give it to you? So apparently it's not because of you. Elo, he says, mishomrei es hashvua shenishba lavaisecha. So apparently, it has to do with the fact that they're Bnei Avraham Yisrael Yaakov. That's the essence. Not mitzit kascha miyesh levavcha. So that's the Bala Reshes Hazar Tzayis. You know what I'm referring to?
Yeah.
But it says, only Shomrei Shvua Shenishba lavaisecha. So apparently the reason is, that's something to do with the Shvua of Avraham Avinu, with the Kiyum Bris. But not because of the essence of the individual. See? The essence of Klal Yisrael could be Chaitim. But still, Mishnah Yisro. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. Listen, they shouldn't think the reason why they're in Eretz Yisro is because of their greatness. Right? It wasn't just telling they're not stop telling lies. I mean, if it was true that they're really there because of Yeshua of Olam, so Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't say, Lay Mitzit Kaskha. He'd say, no, yeah, Mitzit Kaskha, but you should be careful. You shouldn't lose your justice by becoming a Balagaiva. But he didn't say that. He told them something else. He said, it's not, that has nothing to do with your greatness. Don't make the mistake and think it's because of your greatness. Right? Means that there's a certain plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, and you are part of his plan because of Avraham Yitzchak, you're part of the plan, but not because of your inherent value. It's following that Yetis. Otherwise, what's the Rambam saying? He's going to say that it's their inherent value. So he says, Afo Pishahin Adyetis Ishvalim. So how can there be Adyetis Ishvalim if their inherent value? Well, there can be Adyetis Ishvalim. Apparently, there can be Adyetis Ishvalim. We know very well. And there can be. No problem with that. Unless you want to deny reality. Some people try to say, find hidden qualities, mystical qualities, but I just look at the thing the way it is. See the way it is, I guess, and the shuffle's a shuffle, that's it. I mean, unfortunately, you find, many people that...
What do you mean hidden qualities?
Just the hidden justifications, that even though the guy went and destroyed the other guy's business and ruined his life, but still the chesed of the guy was tremendous because, who knows what, he said hello to the widow, I don't know. Finding out different things. Malamaskos. But a person could be endowed with very good things. person's father could leave him everything. Leave him a nice legacy, leave him a nice home, and give him all the rebbeim that he needs to train him, and the guy could still become a Russian. It just means that you have a good endowment. The endowment is good. But what the person does with the endowment, I mean, not necessarily he's going to follow through just because he has this quality.
And isn't that Avshalom?
Avshalom, you know what I mean? The whole thing. See? Being there, you can't serve somebody else. But if you yourself get with us, then you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Yes?
If Moshe Rabbeinu knew his position in the...
God is a Rebbe, and Moshe Rabbeinu knows at a certain time he has to ask his Rebbe something. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the greatest Rebbe possible. But Moshe Rabbeinu had to be naive like a Talmud. Talmud has to know when to ask, what to ask, what chachma, and what to do. And that's the skills of Moshe Rabbeinu. You understand what I mean? Little Rav, little Talmud, always Talmud and Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu and Akadosh Baruch Hu, constantly that away in the Torah. It's not a crazy, mystical type of a relationship. Moshe Rabbeinu had to, he knew, the Talmud knew when he has to ask the Rebbe certain things. So at that time he asked, not at other times. You have to know, you understand the Tefillah, you see the Chochma precisely, somewhat of as much as we can understand, what exactly, why and when and how. See? But Moshe Rabbeinu related to Akadosh Baruch Hu like a Talmud. That's it. Who's the Talmud? I'm a Lamei Torah, Lamei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Rebbe, and Moshe Rabbeinu requires the Talmud. I'll meet it. Because if a person really is misspelled properly, a person can gain tremendously from Tefillah. A person can gain tremendously from Tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I'll call a Kadosh Baruch Hu Tefillah and Torah. But Torah has an attraction to it more than Tefillah. Because Torah, there's an ego attraction to it. You see? Because the guy walks around, he's big London, sharp London, he learns, he knows this, he knows this, he knows that, sugya. You see? But Tefillah, what does it get? What's there to show for Tefillah? Very little to show for it. See, the only thing that there is to show, in Tefillah really, that's why really, in terms of Lishma, Tefillah really is the best activity, in terms of Lishma. Because it's an activity in which there can't be any low lishma involved. Because the only purpose is perfection. And the good that results is the perfection that the individual attains. See, in Torah, a guy could fool himself. Because in Torah, there could be another emotion involved, and he might not see it. He might think he's low lishma, he might not be low lishma. And tefillah is only perfection. Tefillah is only perfection. But tefillah is very important. Very important. That's really where the person who's followed well, his whole life is different. There's no question about it. Because the ego has nothing to gain from Tefillah. What is he going to gain from Tefillah? The guy was a spell for an hour. So what did he get there? There's nothing good for Tefillah.
Yeah.
It could be is related to an ego satisfaction. But the essence of Tefillah can't be. It's just the next level thing. He's showing off for everybody.
You can't really show off
for Tefillah. No. I'll tell you why. Because to go through Tefillah, We're going to try to go through Tefillah, but I just want to say before we get started, that it's a difficult thing because of one fact. Because there's, you see, every investigation, the success of your investigation depends a lot upon the sources that you have in order to guide you. You know what I mean? If you don't have these many sources, you go into the world of conjecture. And that's a world that, I mean, I hate to get lost in, because you can say almost anything at any time, you know? It's hard to be scientific in an area where there's very little information on. I mean, there's very little. Gemara Brachas is true. It talks about Tefillah. There's no Gemara that really breaks it apart piece by piece. There's certain Gemaras, and those Gemaras are really hard to make it harder even to understand. Yeah, but hard to know what that remnant is. Yes.
You found the
other one? What that I found for Tefillah. One source for Tefillah is Reb Yudah Levi. He goes through the Tefillahs. Goes through the Tefillahs. And he goes through what the order of the Tefillahs are. I think he's the only one of the Kadmonim, at least that I know of. Maybe there are others. I didn't see any others. The only one that I saw is Siddur HaMargon is something else. Siddur HaMargon is an organization of the Tefillahs. But I don't believe he goes through why one Tefillah is before the other. In other words, in Yud Ches Brachos, right? Yud Ches Brachos. So when you go through, So why is one bracha here, and why is the next bracha next, and what's the third bracha, you know, and how it works? That's what we're trying to do. The Siddur HaTfilah, we're trying to do. What are the ideas, are, how they follow, what's the signal over there, right? There's no one, Chazal, you don't find in the Chazal, and the only one I found is Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. He does go through the what the order is.
In the Kuzri.
Matter of fact, he really goes through from before. He goes Weiss, Matzmichas, Gula, Tfilas altogether, the Birkas Yetzer and the whole, which is nice. But since we're interested in Shemoneh Esrei, we'll stop for Shemoneh Esrei. That's one source for Shemoneh Esrei, and there is one other source that you have that can help you, can assist you in interpreting and understanding what the Tfilas are. You know what that source is? There's one Tfilas. See, the Gemara says, if a person can't be Mechavim, a person feels that he can't be Mechavim. So Chazal says, you can't be Mechavim, you're not Mespal. A person feels. And it would appear not just to Magen Avraham, it would appear from the Gemara, plenty of Shadding Gemara, is that a person feels it can't be Mechavim through the whole Tfilah, he shouldn't be Mispalim. He shouldn't be Mispalim, because the Gemara is the same for Magen Avraham. The Eved is Yetzir's Gemara, but Mechatfilah, you're not going to be Mispalim, you're not going to be Mechavim. You have Mechavim the whole Tfilah. But the Gemara says, let's say a person can't, he's in a frame of mind where he can't really, can't do it well, so the Gemara says there's one Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? There's a Tfilah Katsara, Havinena. Yeah, the essence is one bracha that has in it the essence of every single bracha. You see? So Havinenu is a very good source also. Why? Because Havinenu puts them all together. So it puts them all together in one bracha. This is from Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, Chazal. So you can see, groups them all together. So you can see what the hell one follows the other. Because it shows you the relationship between them. See, so Havinenu is a source. The only two sources I found is Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi and Avinena. If you know of any other source, let me know, but I never saw it.
The
Gravah should really go through Tol Magen Avraham. Do two things. We should go through Tol Magen Avraham, that's one. And then after that, we should go through the all the brachas together. You know what I mean? Because Tol Magen Avraham, you have to mechav in every word. That's, I mean, at least I think we should do Tol Magen Avraham. But we'll try not to get lost in the bracha, and then we'll do the overview, and I think that'll be enough, because I don't want to go, like I say, we have to be very careful over here. There's a lot of pshatim, there's thousands of pshatim, and you take a look through over here, find everybody says another pshat. So that type of information, you know, you can't it's very nice, but you can't really be sure that there's any veracity to it. You have to have rias. The problem is it requires a tremendous scope to be able to know, to go through these things. And I don't feel that I'm in a situation where I could do an adequate job. Yes? Let's take a look, see what we can do. All right? Melach is there, Mashiach again, but I think again I'm wrong. What should our pressure be? How are we going to pressure? Should I repeat it again?
Well,
where is Malchus in the Shemoneh Esrei?
Okay, Avram.
One Teretz is Okay, Avram is Malchus. He was the first one. Adnes. He's the first one that brought the Malchus to the world. The world. Second shot is a godo with Malchus, and the third shot is a Shemoneh Esrei with name Malchus. So you take a choice. Bracha she'ini ma'ashem with Malchus. It's only referring to Birkas Anenim, Birkas Yerach Vaydah, but Tzibur doesn't require it. Whether it's not there, or else it's there in Alakei Avram, or else a godo also. What? I'm not talking about Alakei Vaysechem Shlachani Alechem Alakei Avram Alakei Yitzchak Alakei Yaakov. Pasuk, we have to say pasuk. Okay.
Seems to be following the Rambam.
Which is why you have Baruch Atah Hashem, right? Alright, so Hashem means. Hashem is Adonai Kol, right?
Okay.
Adonai Kol. In abstract, who are you praying to? Hashem, Adonai Kol. That's his name in abstract. Then you have. The difference between Hashem and between Elokeinu. What's the difference between Hashem and Elokeinu?
Hashem is for.
Oh, if I say no. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, right? So really, from Elokeinu till the end of Yaakov, it was really one type of mention one type of formulation of the Shem Hashem. You see?
What is it?
What about Hashem? One category. Elokeinu Tol Elokei Yaakov, second category. Okay, La Gadol Givanor Kelayon, third category. Goyimol Chasad and Tevim, four. You could break down the bracha into four categories.
All right. Separate bracha to Hashem from
what?
Where? 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 Bracha to Hashem apart from itself.
Oh, Chasad Hashem. See, bracha to Hashem. Adnas. Adnas. Adnas means a dain curl. A dain curl. Right. But Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov means what? What does it mean? The Gemara says that it says by Yitzchak that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, just remember, I forget the name. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was Meshatev? Was Meshatev? I forget what the Chazal was. Was Meshatev, is not Meshatev Shmoy Shel Tzadikim, Shmoy Le Tzadikim Kishayim Chayim. See? Because Is that on the pasuk mipachad the pachad of Yitzchak, right? The pachad vayishov Yaakov the pachad of Yitzchak, right? It doesn't say lekei Yitzchak. Why? Because I remember correctly. Because the Shem Hashem is never mitzuruf to a person.
I think Yaakov says mipachad and God said I lekei Yitzchak.
Oh, because why? Because
that
he was ready to die.
He was still living.
Still
so
living. Right.
Yaakov,
right. So was the answer. The answer was because he was.
Right.
So the point is, like, so there's a concept of the Meshachet Shem Hashem to a the concept.
It's completely like a mace.
Yeah, we interpret that. I said it means it's completely tzaddik ready. It's a completely world of chachma. There's no more physical. Complete detachment from the physical. That's by Yitzchak, right? Yeah, right. So there's a concept. That's why the Kei Avram, Baruch Hashem Magen Avram. It is Vavagad Lashmecha. So the Chazal say that they'll say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Avraham, right? Minayin she and Elokei Yisrael Yaakov. That's Varecha. All the pasuk over there. Minayin she Chayim Avraham. So the end of the pasuk says over there, right? Rashi in Lechacha. So what is the psha? What does this mean? What is just a game? I mean, just to say. I know. The pasuk like this. So what does it mean? Right? Okay? So you see that there's a concept of being a shatei. Shatev Shemoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a Basav Adam, right? But the Shemoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Metzurif only to Avram Yisrael V'Yakov. Okay, Avram, okay, Yisrael, okay, Yaakov. Meshutav means attached. Okay, Avram, okay, Yisrael, just those three, right? And also okay, Yisrael. Okay, so, but just those three, right?
Okay.
So what is the concept of being Meshatev Shemay Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Basav Adam? That's what we're saying over here. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That's the being Meshatev to Shem Hashem. Right? Elokeinu, right? It's Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Aviseinu. Who is Aviseinu? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So the difference between Baruch Tod Hashem and from Elokeinu to Elokei Yaakov is that Baruch Tod Hashem is Hashem in abstract, general. But from Elokeinu to Elokei Yaakov, it's the sheet of Shmoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Basav Adam. That's the difference. What does it mean, the sheet of Shmoy? What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshatev Shmoy to Basav Adam? Okay, Avram, okay, so okay, Yaakov. That's the concept over here. Then, okay, I'll go to the human, there's another concept to write. Right? The sheet of Shmoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that the Shem Hashem was manifested through these individuals. Correct?
Yeah.
Through these individuals. Since these individuals lived a certain way, that the Ashgacha was demonstrated through them, right? So that is the Sheet of Shem. That's the Sheet of Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions were demonstrated through these individuals. Right? Yes, why don't you say Masha?
No one's that great Ashgacha.
Masha's probably included in Yisrael.
Because
well, they would also be included.
Well, that's right. Why are they excluded? But if the Hashkafa demonstrated self-devotion, doesn't necessarily relate to us anymore. I mean, the Avos relates to us because we're still part of the Bris Avos.
That's right. See, it's Bris Avos. It's not Bris Moshe. There was a time that it could have been counted Bris Moshe. It could have been switched to Bris Moshe at one time.
But we would have been wiped out.
That's right. That's right. But Moshe Rabbeinu intervened. They didn't let it happen. Then it would have been, you see?
God said, I'll get rid of them and we'll start one from you.
Start one from you. See? Moshe Rabbeinu was right for that. But it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. So therefore, the Ashgacha relates to us through the Bris Avos. You see? Through the Bris Avos. So that's why it's only the Kavon and Ketzel and Keyakai. It's the other one, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not, it's not the, we're not B'nai Moshe Rabbeinu, we're B'nai Avram Yisrael Yaakov, right? Okay. So the Shem Hashem is Meshutaf only to those three. Why is Meshutaf only to those three? Why? Why is Meshutaf only to those three? What? Because the Shem Hashem is the Shituf Hashem is not dependent upon this Chus of the Yachid. What is it dependent upon? Insofar as this Yachid is responsible in bringing about the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the universe. You see? Insofar as this Yachid is responsible, plays a role in demonstrating the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that what? That there should be an Ummah. There is no manifestation of the Ashgachas Hashem without Klal Yisrael. It's impossible, right? So therefore, the manifestation of the Ashgachas through Klal Yisrael, right? Which goes back to what? To the Avos, right? So it's through the Avos. So that's why the Shem Hashem is Meshutaf only to the Avos, because the Avos are the inception of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is the Ashgacha, right? Demonstration of the Ashgacha. So it's only through these three individuals that you have the Shem Hashem Meshutaf, but not through anybody else, even though you can be a very great person. Moshe Rabbeinu was greater. Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was greater because of Nachnu Mo, like I mentioned before. Right? But over here you're not discussing the idea of greatness, you're discussing what? The expression of the Ashgacha, the expression of the Shem Hashem. The expression of the Shem Hashem finds its fulfillment in Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Because through them, that's the Bris Avos. Through them, the Ummah was brought about. And the Ummah is through them, and the Ummah is the demonstration of the Ashgach Hashem. Yes. Yeah. B'nai Adam is concerned. Talking about Ashgach as far as B'nai Adam, as far as the world is concerned.
Well, you can have Ashgach with that.
Which, we're talking about a system which affects the whole world, not the Yachid.
Okay.
The only way that the world can come to know to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Klal Yisrael. Do you understand what I mean? Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Right. In other words, it's God's plan that there should be on this earth a group. What's the whole Matan Torah? The Atemtilu Mamlechas Kanei Gai Kadosh. Right? So it's God's plan that there should be one nation on the surface of this earth which has the true ideas, right, which carries the Shem Hashem, in order that others should be able to have it. Otherwise, we wouldn't need a number. It would be all Yechidim. Right? You understand what I mean? That's the Bias Mashiach. Eventually, that they'll all recognize the Shem Hashem. They'll all recognize the Torah. They'll recognize Klal Yisrael. But the Klal Yisrael, you need a Klal Yisrael in order that there should be a demonstration, manifestation of the Ashgacha for all B'nai Basa over there, for all Basa Adam. You understand what I mean? So that's his will. That's why it has to be numa. That's why before Matan Torah was an individual basis. Individual. One person was a tzaddik, another person was a rasha. Shame was a yitzaddik. Says who chayim the kel alayim, right? And individuals had yechidim, plenty yechidim. Avram's only sanach shvasa mecharon, all yechidim, but yechidim. What happened to them? That's it. There's no more, nothing. But the system was that was the bris to Avram. The bris to Avram was that there will be eventually be a nation through which the Ashgacha will be demonstrated, right? But that's only Avraham Yisrael Yaakov. That's only Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, from nobody else. Right? Is it clear? That's not clear. Avraham ain't going to Saticha. What's the whole story of Avraham? The whole story in the Torah of Avraham Avinu is what? One thing. What did Avraham do? Did one thing. What did he do? one thing,
able to become,
demonstrated the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he did, right? I mean, isn't that what he did? Okay. Lach lecha me'atzchem alatcha, the whole sipur ma'isa. What was it?
Rambam has a whole thing.
That's why we say, that's why Tosfos says that where's the, what Bob mentioned, that's why Tosfos says that where is the Melech Ha'olam over here? Elokei Avraham. Why is Elokei Avraham Melech Ha'olam? Because before Avraham there was no manifestation of the Ashgacha. Right? You understand what I mean? So where was the manifestation? Where was the demonstration of Ashgacha insofar as this? There was HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make this world for nothing, but he made this world for a certain purpose, to fulfill a certain objective. The objective is what? Is recognition of Hashgachas Hashem, recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is brought about first through whom? The first one is through Avram. That's what he says. Look, Avram is Admas, is Malchus, right? Okay.
You mean the idea of spreading recognition?
Right. In other words, the idea of having a system, it is God's will that there should be a system on this world which carries with, carries with it the true ideas. Right? Otherwise there's no purpose for the whole existence. Imlay Barisi, Yem of Alayla, Chukka Shemayim V'Arth V'Samti. That's a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? So now there were three people who were responsible for this system. Who are the three people responsible for the system? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay? Not Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu is from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yumor, didn't come from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Separate question, why Yitzchak, why Avram?
Separate question, why? But the point is, it was from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's the Bris Ovos. So it was from them that the Ummah, they were the ones, because of them there was an Ummah Yisrael. If it wasn't for them, there would not be any Ummah. That's the way it is, would not be any Ummah. What would happen, I don't know. But as far as the way things were, it wouldn't exist. Right? So the Ummah, right, which manifests, which exists for the purpose of manifesting the Shem Hashem in the world, goes back to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Right? Okay. So that's Shituf Shmoy Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And that's why Shittuf Hashem is only to those three. You understand what I mean? Because the Shittuf Hashem means the demonstration of the Ashgachas Hashem. Demonstrate. You understand what I mean? That which is part of the plan, which for this world, what was the plan for? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan for this world? The plan for this world is that there should be a system, the true system of ideas should exist. Otherwise, there's no purpose in the whole world. You understand? All right. Now, who are the ones that were responsible for the system? Who are the ones that are responsible for the system? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So therefore, they are the ones that are responsible for having the system which manifests the existence of God in the world, right? That's why the shame is meshutaf to them. You understand what I mean?
Do you understand? Is it clear or is it not clear?
Ashgacha the Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't seem so. Seems the opposite way. And Moshe Rabbeinu was more under the Ashgacha than Avraham Avinu. It was a higher level. No one there was. Nobody was like Moshe Rabbeinu. Pel Dababai. Avraham was Bachalayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu is Pel Dababai.
His Ashgacha represented the Yoma.
That's right.
His Ashgacha was his own personal.
His own personal tzitkis.
Right.
But the Bris Avos, those who were responsible for the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is that there should be in this world a nation which has the true ideas, that was Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Without them, there wouldn't be such a thing. Without them, if those people hadn't existed, there wouldn't be such a thing. Okay? If those people hadn't used their Bechira properly, then it wouldn't exist. Alright? So it's because of them. That's the sheet of Shemesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to those people. It's because of them. Alright, it's Bris Avos. Okay. So that's the that's up to Lekei Yaakov. All right. Now let's see.
So Elkeinu stands for the Uma. Elkeinu, but Lekei Yosef, Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov.
Right. All right. Now what's the next one? Right.
Adonko.
And then that relates to the human being, namely to the Ashkacha.
I can understand that. You mentioned why he lives in the human being. Why, that's why I have to mention that in Shor Esrei. It's the Ashkacha. Why do you have to mention the first part?
Hmm?
Why do you have to mention the Adonis of Hashem? Because I can understand why I have to mention the Ashgacha, because it's, you know, it's important for the person's mind to recognize this recognition.
Yeah, by Baruch Atah Hashem. He has to recognize God exists in that relationship to the world, too.
That's what the Baruch says before we say the function.
Oh, in other words, not his purpose.
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more than just the
Kadosh Baruch Hu.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dinakol is a big thing.
Okay.
It is in regard to this universe. I mean, this universe, this world over here, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I told you, the Rambam says that there are many things which exist aside from us for their own purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Bere. He's Bere Lomais. Gemara says Bere Lomais Machriva. So even without us, there's one small world. There are other things.
They represent Avraham
and Akal. That means the one who created everything, right? And then the second, that's the first part, Adon Akal. Second part is Hashgachasoi Eleinu, right? Is Hashgacha to us, B'Teras Umah. That's the Lekinu, Lekevus, Lekevus, right? Okay, next. Hakel Hagodel Hagibel Ra'Neira. Alright? Kel Elyon. So what is Godel Gibor Ra'Neira?
Moshama.
Those are the only three attributes that we're allowed to say. Right? And we only say them because Moshe Rabbeinu say them. Because any attribute which we have in mind is always a design to...
We're not supposed to have any idea what we're saying.
What have Moshe Rabbeinu meant?
That's
what I would say. I can't imagine any other chat. That's what the Ram says. I'm Ram Kimosha Amma Moshe. I'm saying whatever Moshe Rabbeinu meant by a God will give of an error. Because whatever we mean by a God will give of an error is worthless. You understand?
Isn't Kel Elyon also an attribute?
What about Kel Elyon? Is Kel Elyon an attribute? What is Kel Elyon? What does mean Kel Elyon? Kel Elyon is an odd thing. Nobody says what the Pshat is. It's another one of those things. Where is Kel Elyon mentioned? Where is Kel Elyon mentioned? What? Yeah.
Malki
Tzedek Malach Sholem, after Avram was successful in the battle over there. So Malki Tzedek Malach Sholem was May Hitzi Lechem V'Yayin. What? Malki Tzedek Malach Sholem. Chazal say it was shame. Shame ben Noach. He was a Kohen Kel Elyon. That's why Avram really gave him Maaser. Why did he give him Maaser? Because he was a Kohen. What does it mean he's a Kohen? What is he walking around with a Kuna? What is doing? Big the Kuna. It meant. What is it called? What is Beis Mikdash? Where is it going? Kohen means, apparently, that he set aside his life. His whole purpose in life was to teach people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he means a Kohen. He's in charge of the Aveda. Anybody wanted to do Avodas Hashem, they came to him because it's a science. Apparently, even in that time, they recognized people were chacham. They recognized they can't just be Avod Hashem. Avod Hashem is a person in stam hollow emotions. Anybody wants to be Avod Hashem, you have to learn how to be Avod Hashem. So where did they learn how to be Avod Hashem? They went to Shem. Shem. Learn Shem Vaver. Shiva Shem Vaver. Right. Okay, we'll see. Right. So Shem was a Meirah Derech. That's what it means, a Kohen L'Kel Elyon.
Shem was called
Kohen
Elyon.
Kohen L'Kel Elyon. So he's Shem, right. So Shem was the one that he was the Meirah Derech. In other words, a person wanted to learn how to be Eved Hashem. So he came to Shem. That's what it meant, Kohen. Kohen means he's the one that was in charge. Kohen means he served everybody. And he said, friends, they came to him and he taught them. He taught them the ideas of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shiva Shem Vever. Taught them the ideas, how to be an Eved Hashem, how to mispalo, how to learn, how to live. That's what it meant. That was his whole thing. That's why he spent his life in that. So that's why Avraham Avinu gave him tzedakah. Gave him tzedakah, why? Because he was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik. Supported him. He had like a yeshiva. Shem Vever. Chazal said.